Good morning, everyone. I hate to break this up, but it's time for worship. Five minutes ago, I was kind of worried. There weren't very many people, but everybody poured in. So it's good to see all of you, and I have some extremely important announcements. It's the last chance to order poinsettias. The order forms are on the back table, and they're due today. And it'd be nice if we had some more, because there really aren't very many that were ordered last week. Now, this is another extremely important announcement. If you are going to Holland, would you be willing to take a couple of boxes left from the bazaar to Bibles for Mexico, Goodwill, Salvation Army? It would be appreciated. Rachel would like the stuff gone because she needs the tables for a couple of weeks. Harvey? And who? Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Great. Now we hope we have some more. Okay, there's a lot downstairs. Okay. This is another, for most of us, kind of a sad announcement. We're having a farewell potluck for the pastor and Mary on the 29th. So you can sign up on the back table today. And the sooner you sign up, the easier your item to bring could be. They seem to get more complicated. I don't want to say this is an important one, but it is. We need ushers, coffee bar host, and liturgist. And you can sign up on the back table for that. And those jobs aren't very hard, but we can't just leave it to one or two people all the time. Christmas Eve service is at 6 o'clock. That's all my announcements. Do we have any joys or concerns? Rachel?
So now they're exercising it to get the muscles working again. She walks a little longer.
Barb?
I have a prayer request for Tony Lynn's neighbor, Judy. She is not doing very well. They don't expect her to even survive.
So Judy. Barb? Harvey?
Joanne had a CAT scan of her chest and her lungs. Friday after the Holland Hospital, and we broke the head results back after when it was on Monday. She got a spot on her lung, though.
So pray for Joanne. Rich, did you have your hand up? Well, that's good, because we had a problem a couple weeks ago. Rick?
Yeah, just an update on Sherry. She's doing much better. Has a long way to go still. She wanted to be here today, but it's just a little too early, so hopefully next week.
Okay, any more updates or anything? Well, then, Rick, but wait, over here? Oh, Dave?
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, now, have I got everybody? I didn't even recognize Dave with a beard, so Rick can ring the bell. And oh, for heaven's sakes, make sure you take your prayer list home and pray. my breath away, seeing church people on both sides, the Christmas tree, and everything. Will you please stand for the call to worship? Sing a new song to the Lord.
Sing to the Lord and praise Him.
Proclaim every day the good news that He has saved us.
Proclaim His glory to the nations, His mighty deeds to all peoples.
Let's continue with the opening prayer. We lift our voices in praise to You, Almighty God, for You have sent Your Son into the world for our salvation. We rejoice in the knowledge that the Lord is King and that He will rule the peoples of the world with justice and fairness. Thanks be to You, O God. Amen. Now let's praise the Lord by singing hymn 224, Good Christian Friends Rejoice.
This morning. The drive over here was not bad. We were a little concerned when we left home because there was, you know, that little bit of freezing rain last night on the roads, but most of the roads were treated, so it wasn't bad at all. But as we traveled, I said to Mary, I said, it doesn't seem like it's been 8 years. But it has been 8 years plus a few Sundays, and in some ways it seems like it was just yesterday when we came for the first time, met originally down in the basement with the staff Pastor Parrish Committee, and I don't know what kind of impression I made. Yeah, I know you were. You misspelled my name, I remember.
Yes, there's two T's.
Yes, Yeah. Well, I don't know what to say. But these have been good years for us. I was thinking about it on the way, and for many, many years, my whole life centered around the church that I serve and the people in the church. I mean, just everything. Even our family life was somehow connected to that and affected by it. And then when I retired and became a part-time pastor, I never quite adjusted to that new feel, because no matter how much I did, I always felt like I wasn't doing enough because I was only working part-time, and it just seemed like I should be working full-time. And so I'll feel a little bit better in that regard. Now that I'm permanently retired, I won't have those feelings inside about, well, you really should do this or you really should do that. And part-time is a hard thing in some jobs. And that was the hardest part for me. I don't think you're rid of us completely, because I think we'll pop in once in a while for a visit on a Sunday morning. And depending on how you receive us, it'll determine whether we come back again or not. Because I have visited a few churches on occasion, not many that I've served. One in particular, some people were really glad to see us, and other people were like, "What are you doing here?" And I will say this. And it's a little bit of a joke, but it's kind of true too. That is, United Methodist pastors, after they leave a church, they can say they've made everybody happy. Some people by coming, and some people by going, but everybody's happy. We're looking forward to being retired. We're not looking forward to not being here. That's not it at all. It's just, as I've said before, we are looking forward to spending more time with family, being able to travel on weekends and things of that sort that many of you know about. But these have been good years for us in many ways, and we've made many good friends here. And we're thankful for that. I want to invite us to a time of prayer, and we'll follow our usual pattern by silent prayers, a brief pastoral prayer. We'll share the Lord's Prayer together, and then we'll sing the chorus from the hymnal number 176, Majesty. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. It's good to be in this place. It's good to be among your people. It's very good to offer to you our worship and our praise, our gratitude, and our love. We're thankful for all that you have done for us. We thank you for those blessings we have received into our lives. We're grateful for family and friends. Grateful for this church family. We're grateful for those everyday blessings that we experience in our lives. We're thankful for the measure of health we experience each day. We're thankful for strength to work and to serve and to share. We're thankful for your Son Jesus, whose birthday we celebrate at this time of year. We're thankful for the good news that he brings to us. We're thankful for the message of your love. We're thankful for his life, his teaching, his death on the cross for us, and his resurrection with power, his ascension and his intercession for us at the throne of grace. We thank you for those spiritual blessings that we receive in such quantity and such measure we cannot fully understand. We thank you, and we acknowledge our unworthiness, that we have done that which is wrong, not always doing the good we should do. We ask for forgiveness. We pray for strength to live more and more in harmony with your word and your will. We're thankful that you're God who cares about people. We know you care about those who were named moments ago in our service, those who are on our prayer list, and those we carry in our hearts. We lift them to you just now. We thank you for answers to prayer. We pray that your mercy, your grace, and your love, your presence would be real for those that we lift to you this day. We offer prayers for peace in our world. We pray for those who are working to bring peace and understanding. We pray for missionaries who serve and make your love real in tangible ways and speak the words of your grace and mercy. We pray for our nation and for our leaders. We pray for the church, that larger church that includes many different churches and denominations. Pray for the United Methodist Church, that your will and way might be found for us as a denomination. We offer prayers for the churches in our community, here in Saugatuck and Douglas and surrounding area. We pray for these churches and for their pastors and their lay people, that you would bless them and continue to use them to share your love. We pray for this community of faith. You have used us for so many years, and still today you are among us, helping us, encouraging us to share your love and invite people into relationship with you. We ask for your help and your blessing upon us as a congregation. We pray for this worship service. May we sense your presence. May we hear that personal word through our worship today that we each need to hear from you. Hear us now, we ask, as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. scripture reading this morning is Psalm 84, found on page 521 and 522 of your pew Bibles. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in thy house, ever singing thy praise. Blessed are the men whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also converts it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in thee. The word of God for the people of God.
At this time, we will offer our healing prayer. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning, we pray for Lord, in your mercy. This time our ushers will wait upon us and we'll receive our offering. Father, it's our prayer that you would accept that which we offer to you this day. Bless these gifts and us, and use us to your service and to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we'll sing Go Tell It on the Mountain, found on 251.
Scripture lesson this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. I'm going to tell you something that you already know, but I can't resist. The theme for the message and the service this morning is good news. When we look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we say the Gospel of Matthew. But that word gospel, translated correctly, means good news. And when one of the early translations, or paraphrase actually, of the Bible in contemporary language was done, they called it the Good News Bible. The coming of Jesus into the world is good news. And so really, we could say, instead of the Gospel of Matthew, we could say the Good News of Matthew, the Good News of Luke, the Good News of Mark, the Good News of John. And the truth is, the Good News is the Good News of Jesus. And when the angels came to the shepherds that night, it was a message of good news. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people. For to you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that you might speak to us anew through your word, through your messenger. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading about a Christmas pageant. Do you remember those old Christmas pageants that kids used to do? How many of you were ever in a Christmas pageant? Most of you were. I had a part when I was in, this was done in school now, not in Sunday school, but regular school, this Christmas play that we did, and our parents and stuff were there, and there's a picture of it in the school annual, I think, and I had the part of a little boy that had ate too much candy, and I'm sitting in a chair, and I'm holding my stomach, just moaning and groaning. And I had a little stomach back then, not like today. But you know how those Christmas pageants are. They don't always go the way they're supposed to. And I read about a 5-year-old boy who was given the part of the angel who makes the announcement of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. And he rehearsed his lines over and over again, and he was ready. They went fine during the practice, but when he got in front of that big crowd of people, it had an effect on him. And so on the night of the pageant, he got out there and he didn't remember exactly the way the words were supposed to go. And so he said this, but he captured the spirit of those words. He said, "Don't be scared. I've got good news for everybody." That's really what the angel said. He had muffed the lines a little bit, but he had captured their meaning. And, you know, I remember in seminary and sometimes in Sunday school reading the theological terms that describe Jesus' coming into our world, but he really, really said it well. Don't be afraid. Good news for everybody. And Christmas is really about the good news, the coming of the Christ, Son of God, into our world, the announcement the angels made. It's good news. It was good news then. It's good news today. Doesn't matter the date. It doesn't matter the circumstances in the world or even the circumstances in our lives. No matter whether we are our little kids hearing the message of Christmas for the first time, or whether we're adults getting a new understanding of the meaning of Christmas, it is good news. I read this story. I think it could be true. I don't know if it is. The source says it was a legend. So it's a good story, whether it really happened or not. Down in Alabama, and there was this elderly couple. They were asleep, and they had in their home a grandfather's clock. It had been handed down from one generation to the other, and it was one of these clocks that struck every hour on the hour. And it had done this for several generations. And one particular night, the striking mechanism, it broke down in some way. And when it got to midnight, instead of the 12 strokes, it just kept on going. It didn't stop. And the old farmer who was in the bed next to his wife heard the clock and heard it keep going. And he sat up in bed and he said to his wife, "Sally, get up." And she kind of woke up and she said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I don't know, but it's later than it's ever been." The good news of Christmas is that no matter what time it is, no matter what time it is in our lives, the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Christ, is good news. And here's the really, really good part of it. It's good news for everyone. Everyone is included. The babe born in Bethlehem was to bring God's saving love to people. It's for everyone. I heard about a pastor who was giving the children's sermon, and she sat probably down in front of the chancel somewhere, and there was a whole lot of kids there. And she was talking to them, giving them, you know, a little children's sermon, which when I used to do children's sermons, people used to say, "You know, Pastor, I get more out of your children's sermon than I do your regular sermon." They thought they were paying me a compliment, but I wasn't always sure. But she was giving a sermon, a little sermon for kids. And she was trying to impress upon them that Jesus came for everyone and to show that God loves everyone. And so she pointed in different directions and saying, "God, Jesus came because God loves you. And God loves you. And God loves you." And as she was finishing, there was one little girl that she didn't point in that girl's direction. And she said, "What about me? What about me?" There are a lot of people in our world who feel like nobody really cares about them. They're too unimportant. They're too small. They really don't matter. And the good news of Christmas, the good news of Jesus' coming, is he comes for everyone. And he came for that little girl and for that one that feels like they don't matter, because they matter to God. The good news is that God is with us. I know there are times in our lives when we feel like we're alone. Someone once said, in those times when we feel like God is the furthest from us, he's actually the closest to us. We just can't always see him or know that he's there. It was John Wesley. You know, John Wesley, I don't remember how old he lived to be, but he had a number of years, and he served in ministry for many, many years. He's seen and experienced lots of things. And the story, I believe it's a true story, is that as he was nearing his passing to leave this earth and go to heaven. He reached up his hands from his bed and he said, best of all, God is with us. The message of Christmas is that God in Christ has come and shared our humanity and experienced life as we experience life. And he is now, through his Spirit, with us, and he understands every experience, every ordeal that we go through, and he sympathizes with us, and he cares for us and loves us. The coming of Jesus to us is something that can repeat itself in a spiritual way. And I think at Christmas time, when we think of his first coming, and maybe we think about that first time he came into our lives, or that first time when we recognized his presence in our lives, we long sometimes for that kind of experience again, to feel that, to sense that, to know that reality. Many years ago, there was a man by the name of Edwin Markham. You're probably familiar with his poem. I want to close with a little bit of that. It's a poem about a cobbler and how he thought that the Christ was coming to his little shop. And some of these words are old, a style of writing that we don't use today, but I hope you catch the sense of what Markham was trying to say. The title of the poem is How the Great Guest Came. Setting is a European village where a cobbler of simple faith so inspired the people where he lived by the manner in which he had lived that when he died, they built a cathedral where his cobbler shop had been. This is the story. Before the cathedral in grandeur rose in Ingelberg, where the Danube goes, before its forest of silver spires went airily up in the clouds and the fires, before the oak had ready a beam, while yet the arch was stone and dream, there where the altar was later laid, Conrad the cobbler plied his trade. It happened one day at the year's white end. Two neighbors called on their old-time friend, and they found his shop so meager and mean, made gay with 100 boughs of green. Conrad was stitching with face ashine, but he suddenly stopped as he twitched a twine. Good news, old friends. At dawn today, while the cocks were scaring the night away, the Lord appeared in a dream to me and said, I'm coming your guest to be. So I've been busy with feet astir, strewing the floor with branches of fir. The wall is washed and the shelf is shined, and over the rafter the holly is twined. He comes today. The table is spread with milk and honey and wheat and bread. His friends went home, and his face grew still as he watched for the shadow to cross his sill. He lived all the moments o'er and o'er when the Lord should enter his lowly door. The knock, the call, the latch pulled up, the lighted face, the offered cup. He would wash his feet where the spikes had been. He would kiss his hands where the nails went in. And then at last would sit with him and break bread as the day grew dim. While the cobbler mused, there passed his pain, a beggar drenched in the driving rain. He called him in from the stony street and gave him shoes for his bruised feet. The beggar went, and there came a crone, her face with wrinkles of sorrow sewn. A bundle bowed her back, and she was spent with wrench and rack. He gave her his loaf and steadied her load, and she took her way on the weary road. And then to his door came a little child, lost and afraid in the world so wild. In the big, dark world, catching it up, he gave it the milk in the waiting cup and led it home to his mother's arms, out of reach of the world's alarms. The day went down in crimson west, and with it the hope of the blessed guest. Conrad sighed as the world turned gray. Why is it, Lord, that your feet delay? Did you forget that this was the day? Then soft in the silence a voice he heard. Lift up your heart, Conrad. I've kept my word. Three times I came to your friendly door. Three times was my shadow on your floor. I was the beggar with bruised feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. I was the child on the homeless street. Christmas is coming. Christ is coming. Fear not. There is good news for everyone. The Lord is with us. Heavenly Father, help us to experience anew this Christmas the coming of your Son into our world and into our lives. And give us eyes, spiritual eyes, to see. We ask in Jesus' name. Invite you to stand as we sing our closing song. It's I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It's on the insert that you received with your bulletin.
Thank you.
Please join me for the benediction. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.